You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Ron, this country has been through a brutal election process.
I think it's hell. I think we've all been driven during the last couple of years through pure hell. It's been some excitement, but it's mostly been pure hell and anxiety.
I think most Americans would say that. This has been an election season like no other, and just extremely contentious, vitriolic. But there's a lot of other things that I have come to think about our election process in this country, where it went in the last recent times, and what direction I think it should be going in the future, because I think we definitely need to be making some changes.
No, I absolutely agree with you, and I've got my thoughts as well, so why don't we just get into it?
Okay. You start.
Okay, so if I was going to title this show, I would title it, What Have We Learned from the Elections,
right? Okay.
And so number one would be, don't trust the polls, okay? Don't trust them, because they're inherently biased, okay? I'll just say that. They didn't learn very much from 2016. I saw the same mistakes being made in these past elections that I did last time for a variety of reasons. So I think people in the polling companies, I think they need to think more about how do you rid implicit and confirmation bias out of your probative questions. And you just have to get far more scientific in what you do.
You know, I honestly don't even want to see polls. I just find them very stressful. And I know that when I looked up polls a few days before the election, what I saw was there's lots of pollsters. I mean, we only hear about a few all the time, but there are lots and lots of pollsters out there.
Well, you know, how many of those pollsters are sort of identified pollsters. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know.
Pollsters that call themselves pollsters. I mean, everybody's doing polls now.
But the example that I would give is looking at one of the political sites and asking for polls on, I don't know, say a Senate race. You know, where are we at? Where are we at? You know, everybody wants to know where we're at now. Who's going to win? Because we all have to know before it actually happens. So when I look, you would think that there's four or five, but there's probably 20 or 30, and it shows this poll says he's up by five. This poll says he's down by three. This poll says, and they're all over the map. So how can anything be? I guess that they go with a consensus of, okay, do you have more for the blue guy than the red guy, or more for the red guy than the blue guy? I mean, I guess that that's how they figure and they average all these, but really you get some big wide spreads.
Yeah, you know what, Linda, there are, you know, and I have to deal with statistics all the time. And, you know, what I would say is quite simply, I don't trust them, okay? Because just as many go one way as they go the other way. And I don't think polls really matter, to be honest with you.
I just don't want to know.
Yeah.
I want to hear, as a voter, I want to hear what the candidates have to say. I want to hear what they're going to do. I want to hear the direction that they're going to take the country. And I don't want to see polls. Now, I could be in the vast minority by saying that. I just think that polls are so very stressful for people. And you know what? We don't need any more stress in our lives.
No, I completely agree. For me, for my part, I don't think I need polls. I don't want to see polls. I just really don't. Let me bring up something else. How about voter ID? What have we learned about the whole voter ID issue?
Well, I guess it depends on who you are, because I don't think a lot of people have learned a darn thing about it. But in my opinion, and I think in most Americans' opinion, we definitely want voter ID shown. For heaven's sakes, you have to show your ID to buy a bottle of liquor. You have to show your ID to a police officer if you get stopped. You have to show your ID, or you have to have ID to be able to drive a car. How many people, when they come and say to us, oh my, it's really racist to not to have people have to show ID because some people just don't have ID and it's their right to vote and they should have this right and you're taking it away from them, and that's, you know, on and on with all the excuses. I don't want to hear a bit of it, because you show me that that person's never bought a beer or a bottle of liquor. You show me that that person can't drive. You show me every situation that you have to show ID for that that person couldn't show ID. And it doesn't have to be a driver's license. So anybody can get an ID.
Well, you know, here's the way I look at it. And I look at it so much more simply. And you covered it. I mean, the other day I went to Jiffy Lube to go get an oil change for my truck. And, you know, I'm giving them a credit card. What's the first thing that they ask me for? Have you got your Texas driver's license? Okay, well, I didn't say, well, that's racist. You know, I feel intimidated by that, you know. So you've absolutely got that right. So, but voter ID goes to so much more, because the people that throw out the comment that, you know, when you ask for voter ID, that's voter intimidation. That is absolutely a false narrative. And I think the vast majority of Americans want an honest, transparent election. And it's already so hard to get one. But one of the things that is the most important right in the United States is voting.
And it's not just a right, Ron, it's a responsibility. And to be responsible, you need to show ID. Because
absolutely.
Let's do the reverse. Why wouldn't you want to show ID?
Well, no, I think that's great. And you know what? I don't hear a lot of people throwing that out. And along with the voter ID, look at the problems that we had with one court ruling after another, and sometimes in complete opposition to each other about signature verification, right? Where you've got, well, the deal is here, you know, you're going to do an absentee ballot, right? And so before you do your absentee ballot, you have to fill out a request to receive an absentee ballot. And you sign that form, that request form for your absentee ballot. So then you make out, when it comes time for election, you make out your absentee ballot. And we used to travel a lot, so we used to do absentee ballots more than, you know, going in person. And what they do is they check your voter registration card and your signature on that, or your absentee ballot registration. Now, remember, when we voted in Texas during these last elections, do you remember how they had you sign? Okay, you had to show your voter ID, and then you had to, and it was done electronically, and you signed it, and the lady or the man that was the, you know, election person, they electronically scanned that, and they compared it against your voter registration.
And they did. And I think that when you register to vote, you should have to show your ID, and you should have to sign there, which, of course, is where they're going to compare it to. But you also sign your ID. So there's any number of places that they can catch fraud. I don't think that it's unfair in any which way. In fact, I think that the opposite is true. I think it's unfair to not have people show voter ID, some sort of ID, in order to be able to vote. I think it's unfair to the rest of Americans who want a fair election and who can't get a fair election because people are constantly pulling the race card or pulling the card that says these people are too poor to get ID. These people, I mean, all of that is just absolutely baloney. I take me to any one of those people and I'll show you where they have, you know, done something that required an ID. This is just a ruse in order to be able to have fraud take place.
And by the way, I think in my life, and I've been voting since I was able to vote, I have never seen on so many different levels. I mean, municipal, state, and federal elections, so much fraud. Okay, where they arrested people, they caught people doing this, they caught people doing that. And I'm telling you that every time we see voter fraud, it reinforces what we are talking about with respect to the importance of voter ID laws. Wouldn't you agree?
I think that the federal government, I know that they want to leave things to the state, but I think that because voting is such an important thing that happens in our country, and it does involve federal elections, I think that the federal government should mandate it nationwide.
Well, okay, and I agree with that, and let me tell you why. States should be in charge of state elections, but when there is a federal election, the jurisdiction is federal, and so the federal government should set down the laws and should set down the guidelines with respect to what is going to be required in order to vote in a federal election.
Yeah, and it doesn't work that way because it really works for the states, because the states elect the Congress people and the states have the electoral votes, and those belong to the states in order to elect the federal, you know, elect the president. So I think that that's why they don't do it. I'm saying I think that they should change that, but, you know, either way. But I want to bring up something else you said, Ron. You were talking about the fairness of the elections and the fraud, okay? And one of the things that we saw, speaking of fraud, in this past election was people, you know how they put the ballot boxes all around the towns and people can drop their ballots in there because of early voting, which I also want to talk about? Those ballot boxes, people were fashioning things that you can stick in there and pull out the ballots. They were starting fires in the ballot boxes. They were stealing the ballot boxes.
Well, they put in fake ballot boxes.
They put in fake ballot boxes to collect the ballots. I mean, there was so much manipulation. And I know that, first of all, I know that we only heard the tip of the iceberg. Secondly, they probably only caught the tip of the iceberg. And there's lots of fraud that happened in the election. We just cannot open that door, which is what they did during the past election. They opened a door for people to be fraudulent. And I believe that they did it purposefully.
Well, I know. And, you know, I want to piggyback on something that you said because I really want to talk about it. You brought it up, and that is mail-in voting. And I think we have to have a serious reconsideration about mail-in voting. What do you think?
Well, that was the same excuses that they gave for the no voter ID. Oh, well, there's COVID out there. People can't get to the polls. They've got to mail in. Seriously, people go to the grocery store all the time. People go visit their friends. Are you kidding me?
They go to fill up with gas.
Events with 400 people. There's riots. There's looting. There's all kinds of things happening. Don't tell me people cannot get to a poll. You need a ballot, then you have to request that ballot, and it is mailed to you, and you can mail it back with signature verification. But for states to have done what they did in this past election and mail to everybody in the state, whether or not they were a registered voter even.
Or alive.
It's got to be illegal. It can't happen again. It can't happen so far in front of an election.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me tell you something that just really put a burr under my saddle, and maybe we can discuss this next. And that is, what is going on this time around with this protracted voting where people were able to vote a couple of months before the election?
Well, and that's what they blamed that on COVID, and that is just an excuse. And they look for any excuse to get their way, because what one side wants to do is they want to allow, I'm sorry, they want to allow fraudulent votes as much as they can get them. And it happens. We've seen it. We lived in California. We saw lots and lots of illegals voting that had no right to vote. We saw the post offices sending ballots pre-filled out as Democrat and with the people's, you know, right. names on the right. ballots,
right.
to illegals.
And no return addresses.
And that's because of their motor voter thing that they did.
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, we have so many people voting that have no right to vote in this country. And the system was set up purposefully to increase the Democratic vote.
Well, I want to say something, too. I think one of the reasons that the Democrats, because it was not the Republicans that was pushing way, way early voting. It was the Democrats pushing the way, way early voting. And I think that they knew they had a weak candidate in Joe Biden, and they wanted to just get everybody's vote in before all the poop hit the blower.
Well, and what we did see was, as the election went on, we saw that people wanted to change their vote. People who had voted early, don't know if they voted for Trump or Biden, but whoever they voted for, they decided that they changed their mind. We should never have voting for a month in this country. That is absolutely wrong. Here's my vote. My vote is complete voter ID. You vote one day on the day of voting, or you want to extend it to...
I'd like to say, you know, just to be fair and square, mm-hmm. I don't think there should be any more than 3 days out from the vote. I mean, if you have not made up your mind within 72 hours of the final day, you're crazy, okay? You've been in a cave somewhere.
Well, here's another suggestion. You know that we have President's Day, and that's a holiday, right?
Correct.
Okay, I say that we throw out that holiday, and you make the day that we vote a holiday for everybody, and they can vote on that day. And you know what?
You know what? That's a great idea. And I think people have discussed that before, but that never went anywhere.
If it has been this way for all of our history, and it worked just fine,
right.
Why did we have to change it?
I absolutely
agree. We didn't make it better by making the change. We did not make it better. We made it far worse by making the change. And I think that we will never know the extent of fraud that happened in the 2020 election.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I really want to talk about, and it's going to be a lengthy conversation, is that we are constantly being manipulated as voters, don't you think? As Americans and as voters. And we're being manipulated, in my opinion, by politicians, the news media, and social media.
Absolutely. There is a lot to talk about there. And we've just seen it get worse and worse. And I think that this was the worst time. I think this country had so much anxiety because nobody knows what the truth is anymore.
Boy, that is a big deal for me, because I would almost scream at the television, because you know, factually, politicians are lying, and they're being allowed to go on television, and they're being allowed to lie. And they're lying in the commercials, and they're lying during the interviews, and there is zero fact-checking going on. And they just let them lie. I mean, you know, obviously, I'm sure there's First Amendment issues and everything like that. But to me, it belittled the whole campaign experience. It damaged the truth. It was just destroying the truth on many different occasions. And as it got closer to election day, the lies got more frequent, and the lies got more aggressive, and they got worse. And it was angering to me.
Yes, I want to talk about some of those lies, but I'm going to get you a cup of coffee so that you can calm down.
I'll take it.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice. Thanks for the coffee. And I want to just get right back into this manipulation of American voters.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned several things. You said the politicians, you said the news media, and you said social media. And all of those are true. So where would you like to start?
Well, let's just, we talked about the politicians, and I get the fact that people understand that politicians don't tell the truth. And I don't care what side you're on. But it is the amount of lies and untruth and the aggressiveness of the untruths that really bothers me, and the lack of the media doing the fact checking at the time. Now, I've seen a couple of stations take on a politician or a spokesperson, you know, a surrogate, when they mention a lie, but I don't believe they do it strong enough.
Well, I'm going to give you a lie that really bothered me during the election. And it also was during the hearings with Justice Amy Coney Barrett. And that was the lie that President Trump was trying to take away your...
healthcare for pre-existing conditions.
Exactly.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, and they said it, have said it over and over. Every Democrat said it. Biden said it numerous times. They said it in the hearings. Everything is centered around making people, especially people that are, have pre-existing conditions or elderly, and now you're going to have people that have had COVID that are going to have pre-existing conditions. So they want to put fear into people. And I think it's so wrong for any politician on any side to
mess with people's health care.
Well, no.
To say
lies about anything to get people to vote for them based on a lie. I just think that's so wrong. And that really bothered me because nothing could have been further from the truth in the election. And if you had half a brain and you read what the case coming up before the Supreme Court was on the ACA, it really had nothing to do with that you were going to completely lose your health care. The worst that would happen, I mean, if the worst happened, it would just go back to Congress to, you know, reestablish a different way of doing it. So what the thing is, for them to have continued this lie really bothered me.
Well, and it went through all of the elected position. So it went not
yes.
only through the presidency, but we saw it in the Senate races and we saw it in the congressional races. Okay. So it was endemic throughout the political campaign.
And through
process.
Your other medias, through the news media,
through
social media.
Through everything. And, you know, one of the things that truly got me is that the reason that they do that, and you didn't mention it, but I know you know, is that they want to scare you. So, you know,
yes.
when the Democrats were saying that the Republicans were going to take away the health care and the insurance for pre-existing conditions, which, like we know, is an outright lie, they did that to scare people, and especially senior citizens.
Yes.
Because the senior citizens are not always people that go, that have, you know, the time or the wherewithal or maybe even the technology to get up on the internet and to see what's going on, right? And to do fact-checking themselves. The television screen comes on, they know how to work the TV, for God's sakes, and they're watching TV and they're drinking the Kool-Aid of whoever is pouring out the Kool-Aid. And I, to me, that was one of the most frustrating, it was one of the most angering things that bothered me during the entire election.
The other thing that really bothered me was blaming the president for a disease in COVID-19 that was sent to us from China, not just sent to us, Ron, but sent all over the world and is still all over the world and will probably forever be all over the world at this point in time. And to blame any leader in a country that did everything possible that they could do, and people did different things because nobody had the magic wand and nobody had the right answer. So to blame them for the deaths of other people, I think is just, that to me is terribly wrong. So there are things that I think that bothered me more during this past election than any other election in my lifetime, and things with the voting that I thought were so screwed up and so wrong for America. And they happen because people are throwing down race cards. They're throwing down, for lack of a better word, they're throwing down the rich versus poor cards. You know, poor people can't go and get this ID, those kinds of things. So I just want to see that change. And I think that we need to have learned something.
Yeah, you know, I want to circle back around to class warfare in a little bit, because that's a huge thing. There, in my lifetime, which is your lifetime, we have never seen such a disparity in ideologies between one presidential candidate and the other presidential candidate with regards to capitalism versus socialism, Marxism. And we've never seen such active players as we did in this election. Now, we had Black Lives Matter, you know, last time in the 2016 election. You know, I wrote about it in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement, in the Warren Police. But this time, we had a much larger, much more formidable Black Lives Matter organization funded with $1 billion in its coffers, and we'll talk about that later. And we also had Antifa. This time, Antifa just blew up. But I want to talk about that a little bit later, and I want to go right back to the news media, and because we're talking about how we are being manipulated as voters and as Americans. And I thought you and I could just kick back and forth what the news media was doing this time around. I mean, it was pretty bad in 2016, but right now, it's the worst I've ever seen it. I just wanted some of your thoughts.
Well, it is the worst that I've ever seen it as well. And, you know, not only is it not news, it's virtually all opinion, and it's all, really opinion on one side or the other. And people literally making the craziest claims as newscasters that I've ever seen. We've talked about this 100 times. I want to see the news. Just give me the facts. You know, what did you used to say? Just the facts, ma'am.
Yep.
Just the facts.
Joe Friday dragged it.
That's it.
You know,
that's all that I want, because the garbage that was spewed, I mean,
the Jim Acosta type personalities.
The disrespect in this last election to the presidency of our United States, the disrespect by politicians to one another, the disrespect by the news media to our elected officials, it just is the worst I've seen, and the worst example for our children that I've ever seen.
You know, one of the things that bothered me, and by no bothered you, and bothered a lot of our friends, because we've had a lot of discussions about the news media with our friends, and you and I have had a number of Talking While Married shows where we discussed, you know, our disappointment with the news media. And I'll tell you what has to take place moving forward is that reporters have to go back to being reporters and investigative journalists and stop being media personalities and celebrities.
Well, they're media whores, in my opinion.
The Jim Acostas, okay, and the Anderson Coopers and all of these types of people that have been just a total pain in the butt and celebrity, that has got to stop. And with regards to the media personalities and the reporters or the journalists, whatever the heck you want to call them in the mainstream media, they have got to stop being complicit and getting in one candidate's corner or the other candidate's corner. Okay? Do not manipulate the news. Right? Do not do that. Let us, as adults, make up our mind. Let us hear the answers to questions and make up our minds. Don't tell us how to think, and don't softball your questions to try to cover for somebody. Okay, don't do that.
Oh, boy, they did that a lot.
Oh, my God. This is the worst I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You cannot call yourself a journalist, a reporter, an investigative journalist. You cannot call yourself anything else but a commentator if you are going to handle people that have got difficulties in their lives and difficulties in their political backgrounds and throw them softballs to cover for them. You can't do that.
Well, you can't do a different kind of interview with different candidates. You should be doing the same kind of interview. Obviously, different questions for different candidates, but right. not all hard balls for one and soft balls for the other. The news media got so involved when they interviewed President Trump that they literally would like call him out. Well, no, that didn't happen in your administration. That kind of thing, where that had never happened to Joe Biden. There's lots of things you could have said about Joe Biden and the administration he was in, but they never did. They never asked any tough questions. So, I'm not talking about this just for Trump Biden. I'm talking about this for the future of our country in all elections, that our media needs to play fair for the benefit of the country. Although, I don't think that they have the benefit of the country in their mind. I think that they have their own political bias, and that is all that's in their mind.
Well, they became a giant propaganda machine for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Democrats across the board. And that's not what we want from our fourth estate, which is, I think, journalism, right, the media. We don't want that from you. All right. And as Americans, we should not tolerate that. And there should be some sort of way civilly that we can fight back against a media that is complicit and non-transparent and biased and trying to manipulate us. We should not allow that to happen. Now, here's the thing about the line being drawn in the sand and spitting over it, or, you know, whatever analogy, you know, you want to make. But the thing is that they have their First Amendment rights, okay, to, I guess, say whatever the hell they want to say. But if you're using the public airways, the FCC should have some standardized guidelines that all of the media has to follow with regards to bias. In other words, if it's news, then news should have certain guidelines. If it's commentary, then basically you can say whatever the hell you want. But people that are news people should be identified as news people, and they should follow journalistic guidelines of ethics. And people that are commentators, they should be identified as commentators.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but
it's just my vote.
But there is an answer. Although I don't think that it will ever happen, the answer is to shut off that news station. Don't buy that newspaper. Don't subscribe to listening to that kind of rhetoric. We need to get back to a civility in our country that we absolutely lost in the last number of years. We lost that civility from the time that Obama came into office. I think that he did not offer a civil presidency, in my opinion. He was very biased himself.
Well, he was very, and people are going to disagree. I mean, you know, you either like Obama or you don't like him. But I found him to be the most divisive president in my lifetime, and especially divisive with respect to law enforcement and his pure, and his wife's too, his pure hatred for law enforcement.
So that carried on to President Trump when Hillary was supposed to be, you know, crowned, and she wasn't crowned. The anger was so palpable in this country that it was just, people were crying. Newscasters were crying on, you know, election night. So it was pretty crazy, and it never stopped for the entire Trump presidency. We don't want to live in that kind of environment. And I don't blame President Trump for that. I blame the media for that. I blame that they didn't get their way, so they were going to make it miserable. I blame Congress and the Senate and the people that were in office that spewed the hatred that they spewed towards the president. I cannot get over, Ron, the example that sets for our youth. And you wonder why our youth do not respect authority?
No.
That's why.
Well, I completely agree with you. And I don't know if you remember, but a few months ago, I wrote an article about, it was sort of a letter to President Trump, giving some humble advice with regards to the press briefings. And I said, because the press briefings were so angry, so biased and so disrespectful, you know, and I hold this as a truism today. It's still my opinion. Now it's even more, I'm even stronger in my opinion now. But why even have a press briefing like that? Why even have that? Why have a Washington press corps? You really don't need it. Okay, what you need is a daily briefing, but that briefing can be put out electronically. And I really do believe the White House should have its own cable television, you know, network.
That's a great idea.
Well, I think they should. They've certainly got the money. And have your own television network, and it'd be called White House Television Network, and go ahead and put out all the news and everything that you're doing every single day at the White House and what the President of the United States is doing. And he can get on there and he can talk, whatever. And then if there's questions, the media can write in questions and then they can respond to those questions. But to have those people who are so self-important, like Jim Acosta's et al., and just treating the president and his spokespeople, the communications director, I mean, you name it, so disrespectfully, and we don't need to have it.
No.
Okay? We just don't need to have it.
No, and it makes all of us angry, and that's what we saw on our next subject, which I'd like to be social media. That is what we saw happen throughout social media, as everybody was angry. And a lot of that came from those places, right? You see the example set, and then you get in a huff and you spew out something else and then something else, and it goes crazy on social
media.
Well,
it really does. And I think what we'll do is we'll get ourselves another cup of coffee, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Facebook, Google, and Twitter.
Yep.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
You know, one of the fun things that I like about doing a show with you is that you make great snacks, so I appreciate the the chocolate chip cookies, because it goes down great with the coffee.
Hot fresh cookies are the best. Well, social media, big subject. How much influence do you think that social media had on the past election?
Oh, I think it was just a tremendous influence, and more influence than we have ever seen in our lives. And I'll tell you what, and I'm sure you're going to talk about this, but to me, it was downright scary. It has been Nazi-esque, meaning the censorship. It was absolutely fascist. It is what you would see in a Marxist government. It became a propaganda machine for Joe Biden and the progressive left. It was just everything that they did, meaning Google and Facebook and Twitter, was totally in your face.
Well, social media was an instrument of vitriol, in my opinion, in so many ways. There was so much hatred going around on Twitter, on Facebook. People on Facebook were unfriending each other. The thing that really scared me is exactly what you said, that social media actually took the president's election campaign off of Twitter for a time. They took our Department of Homeland Security off Twitter. They censored what our government was saying as though they are over our government. That is really scary. Yet, they kept on people like the Ayatollah in Iran. They kept people on who
were saying hateful things.
See, Black Lives Matter, who were saying hateful things, who were saying kill police, things like that. Yet they censored the President of the United States. They censored information about another candidate.
They censored Republican groups.
Yes.
All right. We had a couple of censorships in the Republican groups here in Texas, and there was one nationally. I think Women for Trump.
Yes, Women
one,
for Trump,
which is a
yes.
national organization.
Well, the Trump train, right here in our small town,
got censored.
So I noticed you picking up my cookie.
Well, you know what? I thought it was mine.
Oh.
Sorry.
So the social media is scary, and I recently watched a 90-minute documentary on social media that will scare the socks off of you. And the social media people that were in the documentary are real people, like Tristan Harris, who's the former Google design ethicist, okay? People from Twitter, people from Facebook, who now are realizing that as they thought that they were creating really good platforms for people, now they're seeing that there's another side. And they're seeing how they're being used, and they're scared, and they're worried, and they're sounding an alarm. And we understand that the social media genie can't be put back in the bottle. But perhaps it can be reined in before we destroy ourselves, because just take the vitriol in this country that we have just experienced for the past election period. And most of it was on social media, besides the newscasts. I mean, those are people that are talking to you, right, through a television or something. But the people on Twitter and Facebook, those are your friends, or those are people that you might know.
Or trolls. There was
a lot
of trolling going on. And what I mean by that, for friends and listeners that don't know what a troll is, a troll is someone from, like, the progressive left or some other movement, and they've got, I mean, just upfront aggressive biases. They get on your Facebook somehow. They're friends of a friend, or they present themselves as somebody entirely different. You know, like what's that term called? Anyway, it's a fake person.
An imposter.
Well, okay, well, we could say that. They're an imposter. They make up a name and whatever. And then they get on your Facebook as one of your friends or a friend of one of your friends, and then they troll on your conversations amongst your Facebook friends and associates. That's what I'm referring
to. Well, I was very upset by the things that I saw on Twitter and the things that I saw on Facebook, although I'm not a big Facebook user for that reason. But on Facebook, I did see people that I've known as friends or I've known as business associates, and the things that they were saying and the lies that they were spouting came right from other social media. And it, I just found it really upsetting. And it, I would get literally upset. So I just stayed away from it. But here is what the people who develop these platforms say, Ron. They say that their social media that they created, okay, it increases the polarization in society, and it keeps people online, and they're selling you. You're what's being sold to advertisers.
Your profile.
What you? Yeah,
yeah you. That's you who
to
you
buy
are. You're a
whatever.
Profile.
But also they say that America needs to have a shared understanding of reality, and if we don't, then we're toast. And the reason they say that is because fake news travels 6 times faster than real news. How do you ever catch up to that? You know, if there's that much more fake news and it travels faster, how do you ever know what the truth is anymore? And if we as a country don't have a shared truth, a shared knowledge of what we're doing and where we're going and what's happening in our country, then we cannot navigate our way into the future. We have no way to do that. So there are two countries, Myanmar and the Philippines, who their social media has destroyed their democracies in those countries, destroyed it, and in very short times. And it's the reason is because people get, just like we saw during this election, there's no truth going around. Nobody knows what the truth is. It's easy then to spread lies. It's easy to spread Marxism, socialism. It's easy to say that this is better for you because, and people don't know, and it travels 6 times faster. What is your chance?
Well, here's the problem that we have with millennials. And a lot of the stuff was coming from millennials. And there's a lot of good millennials, but there's a lot of stupid and ignorant millennials out there. And what has happened, we've talked about this before, is this went back 40, 50 years ago, where they started doing revisionist history and removing civics from the classroom.
Yes.
So you've got no idea of your American history. You've got no idea of your international history. We used to have a class, if you remember, in high school called International Relations.
Absolutely.
And you had to take that to graduate. So you had to take U.S. history, you had to take Constitution, and you had to take civics, and you had to take international relations. These kids have got none of that. And so they don't know, you know, they lean towards socialism, right? There was a, you know, speaking of polls, there was a poll just last month that said 56, 58% of American youth favor a socialistic ideology, but they couldn't even define what it was.
Well, of course
and
not.
So what you're seeing,
because
and I'll try to keep this, I want to keep this short on my part because I'm more interested in what you got to say. But what I wanted to say here is that this feeds in to what we saw during the Italian fascists in the 20s and what we saw with the German National Socialist Workers' Party or the Nazis in the late 20s, 30s, and 40s. And then, of course, with communism, Marxism, Trotskyism, communism, and Stalinism, and what we saw and what we continue to see today. And they just don't understand that history repeats itself. And
well,
I'll
it
be
does.
Quiet. I want to listen
and,
to you.
You know, I'm very, very passionate about this issue. And there's so many directions we could go with it. And I would like to have a whole nother conversation about it. But for the purposes of what we're talking about, which is the election, what we see when we can't figure out what the truth is, we see mass chaos happen. We see incivility. Tell me, I want you just to say yes or no. If you saw these things during this past election, okay?
Okay.
Mass chaos.
Oh, yes.
Incivility.
Yes.
Lack of trust in each other.
Yes.
Alienation.
Yes.
Polarization.
Oh, of course.
More election hacking.
Oh, yes. A lot of that.
More distraction and inability to focus on real issues.
Yes, that certainly was the case.
And that is what's happening with our social media. People are so addicted to it. It's like an opioid to them. And when you have people that they can't focus on what's real because we don't know what's real, then society is incapable of healing itself and it devolves into chaos. Where does that take our country? To civil war. That's a very real possibility.
You know, Linda, you were talking to me the other night, you know, because this is your thing, and you were mentioning to me about the profiles of individuals and how social media and the algorithms
yes.
that they use create a separate reality for the person.
Well, they do. So let me give you an example. If you Google climate change, you will get a set of information. It'll give you, you know, these things that we'll talk about climate change, so you can pick from all these different little subjects, right? But if somebody else Googles climate change, they can get an entirely different set, because every click that you make on your computer in social media, every single click is recorded. And they know every single thing about you, and they know your likes and your dislikes, and they know, you know, your politics and your probably your profession and your family. They know everything about you. So, and this is all done by algorithms. And what's an algorithm? Basically, the engineers tell the system what the outcome is that they want, and then the system, that the computers, of which there are massive computers and thousands of computers for a Google or a Facebook, thousands and thousands, the computers with their artificial intelligence determine what to show you as opposed to me for that same question. The Google will hide things that maybe the outcome, let's just say that the outcome that they want is to elect a certain person.
Oh, thank you. Because that's the hypothesis I wanted you to
okay.
talk about.
Let's just say that, and I'm not saying that happened, but let's say that, because it could, then everything that you see is going to be negative about the other person and positive about this person. We are being subliminally and sublimely manipulated without even knowing it every day of our lives on social media. I'm not saying that all social media is bad, but I'm saying it can be a utopia. You can get great recipes. You can learn how to fix your car. You can do so many things. You can go to, you know, WebMD. You can learn so much. But it can also be a dystopia where, man, it can just take our country down because of the animosity that it's creating among people by its use. So my thought is we as a society need to get a handle on that. And I'm going to tell people, go and watch The Social Dilemma. Watch it on Netflix, and it's only 90 minutes. It is worth every minute of your time, and it will just teach you something. And at the end of it, and on the website, thesocialdilemma.com, you can look at what the problem is, you can look at the people involved, and you can look at the solutions that they're coming up with that all of us can take part in to resolve this. Because I don't know about you, Ron, I don't want to go through another election like this. This was too stressful.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think the United States government and the politicians who really live in that Washington, D.C. beltway bubble understand just how close America is to another civil war. I don't think they understand that. And these are all the things that everything that you're talking about and what I've been talking about all contribute to the chasm we have in the United States between our two opposing factions in this country that I truly believe, unless we get a messiah, will never come together as American people. And you know what they've said time and time again. America will never be invaded and taken over by an outside country like China or Russia or whatever. It will only be taken over by other Americans. And that is the thing that scares the bejesus out of me, because we are getting closer and closer and closer to this precipice, and the government is not doing anything to step in and stop it. And I mean local, state, and federal government.
Yeah. Well, I leave you with one thought about this. And this is what the some of these developers said in the movie, that persuasion technology is not the existential threat. It is its ability to bring out the worst in society that is the existential threat. And I totally agree. And I saw that happen with ways that I myself felt about people that I knew based on the things that they were spewing all over social media. We need to get a handle on it and so many more ways than that. But right now we're talking about elections. So those are my thoughts that we've talked about, which I love this conversation because we need to be doing all the things we said, voter ID, no mail-in ballots, those types of things. We need to make a change here.
You know what? And I want to have a subsequent conversation with you because there's so many more things to discuss about what we've learned through this election process. And I want to talk later sometime about the deep state and how the deep state has manipulated the elections and also the role that dark money and dark money funders have had during these elections.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, before our next coffee conversation, why don't you tell people, Linda, how they can listen to Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Married?
Well, just go to AmericaOutloud.com and you can listen live if you'd like, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Or if you want to listen on your own time, our shows all go to podcast. And you can listen on any of your podcast links, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcasts, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, any of the ones, your favorite podcast listening
Yeah,
spot.
And don't forget, when Linda talks about that, we're up in the cloud, so we're available 24/7. And it's really nice to be able to get the AmericaOutloud.com app on your phone. So you can get it on your smartphone. Linda and I have got it on our smart and iPhones. And what we do is just plug it right into the car and bam, we can not only hear our prior shows, but we hear all the amazing people that are on America Out Loud, and there's great columns, and Linda Martinelli is a wonderful columnist on the platform. So take advantage of that. That's America Out Loud.